Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Shuttle Drive. I'm your host, Wade Harrison, and today I have my buddy from across the pond, Miss Sal Montgomery. I've been wanting to talk to her for a while. We have a lot of mutual friends, and I've been hearing this name a lot. So finally, I get to chat with you, Sal. How's it going?
Oh, real good. Awesome to be finally chatting to you. I've also heard loads about you as well, so good to finally put a face to the name.
Well, I hope the, well, never mind, I won't say that. But, yeah, so how's it going over there in the UK? Did you get some paddling in today?
Yeah, it's all good. It's the summer here, so we don't get a lot of rain during the summer, so we're pretty reliant on the whitewater courses, but we do get the odd freak storm, which okay. We all get super excited for, but otherwise it's like whitewater courses.
What part of the UK are you currently in right now?
So I'm in the southwest in a place called Bristol. But I spend a lot of my time over in Devon or Wales because that's where a lot of the good rivers are.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, Wales. Yeah. That's where my buddy Snowy's from.
Yeah, Wales is awesome. It's got a bit of everything over there.
Is it the Monkey Islands? Do they call them the Monkey Islands?
Not that I've heard of.
That's what he told me.
Maybe they do. I've had a lot of time out the UK and maybe they do.
And he also, they have their own language there. They have like their own type of language, right?
Yeah, they do. I know nothing. Like, not a very easy language.
What's your current whitewater course that you like the most right now?
I guess I've been spending a lot of time at a place called the Treren, which is in North Wales. Partly because I have quite a few paddling friends over there, and also it's probably one of our whitewater courses that most like resembles a natural river. Like, they've only tweaked it a little bit, and it's a dam release. So it feels a bit less artificial than some of our other courses. So it's pretty good fun.
A lot of freestyle spots or, like, downriver stuff?
The Treren, not so much, because it's, like, quite shallow in a lot of spots. So it's real fun for, like, a slicey boat or, like, a river play kind of boat. But freestyle, I'd probably go to Home Pier Punt. That's pretty good for freestyle and play boating.
Slicey boat, and you mentioned slicey boat. I heard that the UK people just don't like the slicey boats as much as they do the spud boats. Is that true?
I think they're getting way more popular. I think we're perhaps a little bit behind the times, but definitely seeing more and more of them. And me myself, I spend more time in my slicey boats than a proper creek boat.
What's your current slicey boat right now?
I don't know if you'd even consider it slicey, but for me...
Go ahead, tell me. What is it?
I've been spending quite a lot of time in the Ozone lately. Prior to that was the Ripper. Does that count as slicey?
No, those are not slicey boats.
Okay, compared to my 9R, they're pretty slicey.
I'm thinking, like the low key.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe as UK paddlers are not quite on it as you guys know. I can't remember the last time I saw a low key over here.
Exactly. It's weird. Here in the Southeast, I'm in the Southeast United States, and they're full slice, you know, they're full slice boats and, you know, all the old school type boats, but even the low key is a very good boat here. And I just heard that they just didn't sell well in the UK or anywhere over in Europe. They just don't. It's kind of like the long boats. Like, there's two things. Like, the long boats don't sell very well over there, and the full slice don't sell very. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you see the odd ones. Like, particularly, you just mentioned the long boats. You see the odd one, but you notice it because it's quite rare. And yeah, I guess maybe it's to do with the style of white water that we have over here. But yeah, definitely not as much as over in the States, I don't think.
So do you have a 12 R?
No.
See, I told you. What about a Scorch
Already
X?
be too small for a 12R.
No, just add some seat pads in it. You got a Scorch X. Have you paddled the Scorch X?
No, I've got a Scorch small.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of Scorch Small, what do you, you're one of the first to get one of the Scorch Small. Well, you're one of the first that I've seen on the internet that has this. I seen your little walkthrough. I guess that was in the factory, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at annoying people. So when Matt from Piranha said that he'd let me know as soon as the first one came out the oven, I basically was just hassling him all day, every day until it was ready. But yeah, I picked it up, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago now or so. And yeah, been living it. It's been awesome.
What did you currently paddle?
I was mostly in the Ripper. So that was kind of my go-to for river running was in the Ripper. And then,
Small.
yeah,
Okay.
small Ripper. And then prior to that, I was really into the 9R2, which I still have, but it's like a little bit overkill for a lot of our rivers here during the summer.
Yeah.
And then alongside the Scorch at the moment, I'm trying to spend a bit more time in the Ozone too, just trying to work on some skills and get a bit
Yeah.
more playful and stuff too.
Yeah, I like the Ozone. The Ozone was a, is pretty good boat. That's I would consider that a three-quarter slice.
Okay, I'm getting closer then.
Don't know how to break that down into metric, but whatever.
Yeah, and the fun thing about the Ozone is that I absolutely suck in it. So it's been quite fun trying to suck less.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah, it's still pretty awful.
You had a Jed at one point, right?
Yeah, I've still got my Jed. Yeah,
See, there you
I
go.
paddle that in Nottingham quite a lot.
Yeah.
That's good fun.
I really like the stern squirt. I mean, I'm sure you can stern squirt the Ozone. It has a very easily stern squirtable stern on it.
Well,
Or you call it a telly. Do you call it a telly?
I call it squirting.
Okay. I like that better than telly.
Okay, it's doing stalls, but to be honest, I suck at that quite a bit too.
Ah.
So that's been something I've been trying to work on this summer, and it's kind of one of my little like personal projects at the moment is to get better at it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of getting there slowly, but
So
yeah.
coming back on the Scorch Small, coming out of the you came out of the Ripper Small. What do you compare the Scorch to? I mean, what's your first initial impressions of it?
So when I first saw it, it was bigger than I'd expected, and I was a little bit disappointed. I was like, oh, maybe this is going to be a bit big for me, a bit like bigger than what I wanted. And then I outfitted it and took it on the river and was actually really pleasantly surprised. Because obviously, once you outfit something as well, like it never seems quite so big anymore. Because that's usually the issue for me, is things are generally on the bigger side for me and I get a bit swamped. But what I really like about the Scorch is that you've got that kind of solid, chargey feel of like a big creek boat, a bit like when I'm in my 9R, but with the maneuverability and the playfulness and just being able to kind of put the boat where you want it, like you would in a Ripper. It just feels like super easy to move around and really free. And yeah, like I usually suck at surfing my creek boat. But I'm finding it quite easy in the Scorch. And it's just super nice to paddle, like really fun. And yeah, just really maneuverable while still being pretty solid.
Did you when you outfit it, did you have to add any seat pad to it or?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm about 5'2". So as soon as I get in a boat, it's just like a bathtub. So I think I've got either two or three seat pads.
Wow. Okay. Because I
Yeah.
paddled the medium Scorch and I felt it set really low on me. It's just I think it's just the design of their seat and how their cockpit rims lifted. It felt like it was way too low for me. I added a seat pad in it too.
Yeah, it's quite the norm for me. I tend to always add at least a couple of seat pads because I am pretty short. But yeah, otherwise the cockpit does seem quite high on me, and I just feel like I'm paddling a bathtub, and I'm probably going to hit it with my paddle and just yeah, just
Do you think
not having
you
fun.
think it would replace your 9R2?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? Wow,
Yeah,
yeah, because
yeah.
I did the 9R2 not feel big on you?
Again, initially when you first get that shell and things, but although I hate outfitting, I now religiously like spend 2 or 3 hours outfitting every new
Wow.
boat.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I
I'm
know.
like I'm like 15 minutes tops and I'm done. I'm
And
like,
I
I'm good.
hate it. I'm like the angriest person ever. But what I do now is I go to the piranha factory, go and get it, and I spend some time with the guys there and like socialize whilst outfitting it and just get it as good as possible whilst I'm there. And then obviously I tweak it once I get to the river.
Yeah.
But I find I do it all there and then so that it's pretty much ready because otherwise I just don't do it. I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. And then I have a really crap time on the river because I'm like, oh, I'm too loose and I'm moving around and I can't get the boat to do what I want and stuff. So I now like force myself to get
I
it
could
done
see that.
there and then. Yeah.
I've done that too. I've been just excited to get a boat and I just take it
Yeah.
and go. And then I'm flopping around. My feet aren't pushing on the bulkhead. It's just aggravating. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then
Yeah,
I have to
it's
take
like
it
another
home.
paddle board.
Good. That's pretty good that so you're liking the small scorch. Well, there you go. You're
Yeah.
one of the first
Oh.
ones out there. They're definitely I've got a lot of friends here in the USA that's really excited to get in the small.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, piranha, they kind of went large first, medium, and then scorch X, and then they're waiting on the small. So,
Yeah, and
and
I always give them a hard time about this because they always make us short people wait forever. As you
that's
say, it's like always kind of like the medium, the large, the extra large, and then some way down the line, eventually the small people get sorted out.
what did because you used to paddle the waka boats, right? You used to paddle a lot of the tuna. What was the what?
The Tutaya.
The Tutaya and the Velok.
Yeah, the Velik
That's
is
the
the
Zet one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you like that? Now that Velok, right? Is that how you say that? That's a small boat. I actually seen one, and I was like, wow, that is a small boat.
Yeah, it was my first like proper riverboat really. And I think at the time it was really great for me because I wasn't very strong to start with. And I think I tried the burn initially when I first started paddling rivers and I really
Burn
didn't
one.
like it.
There's like five of them. The one.
Yeah, I don't even know, maybe number two, but I
Okay.
didn't like it. And I'm sorry, Piranha, but I'm quite
No,
upset about
you
this, but
can't
it
have
just
all
felt,
winners. You can't
yeah,
have
it just
everything
felt
can't be a winner.
yeah. I felt like I was in a bathtub. And obviously some of it is skill because I was still pretty new to it. But then when I got in the Velik, the much smaller boat, I found that I could control it, I could move it around easier and stuff. And I kept with it for a good couple of years and really loved it. And I think as I got stronger and I started paddling kind of harder, like bigger stuff, I think I outgrew it a little bit. So it was perfect for that time. But I think if I got in it now, it would feel tiny.
Yeah, you probably wanted more volume. You started paddling bigger volume rivers, and
Yeah.
that's when I find that okay, the lower volume boats, I'm like, I'll go to a large a lot of times, even though I feel really good in a lot of the mediums. Then I go when I get on a big volume river, I want in that large boat. I'm like, this
Yeah.
just feels small.
Yeah, and I think the kind of changing point as well was my first trip to Asia. I went to Nepal and started doing like my first multi-days. And in a boat like the Velik, although I was paddling, it felt nice to paddle. I had no space to take any of my like overnight gear and stuff.
Yeah.
So even that in itself, I kind of needed something a bit bigger because I was starting to do bits of guiding and safety kayaking and stuff. So I needed to be able to carry more gear, really.
Yeah, on that, for the people listening, you definitely have a lot of traveling. You used to anyway. How about that? In the past, you traveled a lot. I don't No, well, it's not out of your choice. I know how the world is right now. You'd be traveling right now. But yeah, because that's I was looking at, your Instagram and you took a trip where you did like something in Russia, right? What was the name of the spot in Russia?
So I've been to Russia twice, but the most recent time was actually between lockdown 1 and 2 last year.
They didn't
So,
keep you in Russia? Were you locked down in Russia?
no, but although I wish they had, I didn't want to leave.
Well, yeah.
We were super lucky. We were meant to go at the beginning of the year, and so it got postponed twice and cancelled. Didn't think it was going to happen, but we were super lucky, and ended up going around now, actually, this time last year. And we went to a place called Kamchatka, which is on the very eastern side
Okay.
of Russia on the peninsula. And yeah, had an epic adventure, which, yeah, I would always be appreciative of, but especially during a year where adventure was pretty restricted and
Yeah.
a bit challenging.
How do you spell that Kamchatka again?
KAM,
K-A-M. I was spelling it K-U-M.
No, K-A-M-C-H-A-T-K-A-M.
K-A. Yeah, the but yeah, go ahead. So what were you saying?
Just how I was super appreciative, and I'm always really appreciative for anywhere I get to experience and all these kind of cool opportunities that I've had. Like, I'm always super grateful, but it was especially so last year because obviously here in the UK things weren't going so well.
Yeah,
was off the tables, adventures, and even just time outdoors was pretty limited. Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
Like a fish.
So
we were pretty much at the very bottom there.
So I pulled it up, and for everybody listening, it's so Russia obviously is a very big country. Kamchatka Peninsula is way over. Kind of close to Alaska, it looks like, right?
Yeah, super far east.
That is very far east.
Yeah, and I can confirm that it's very wild and remote there too.
Yeah, so tell me about your experience over there. Were you guiding? You did like something with like a guy. You were guiding like a crew, right?
So a friend of mine is a wildlife and like adventure TV presenter. He's called Steve, Steve Backshall.
Okay.
And I've been fortunate enough now to be on a couple of his trips where we're exploring new rivers in areas that aren't very well known, and the river itself has never been explored. And we are using the exploration of that river to also kind of explore and share with viewers the environment there too. So usually it's around kind of the wildlife in that area. And there's nearly always like an environmental angle, so an environmental message that we're trying to get across.
Yeah.
Through the story of an adventure.
Now you say the wildlife over there, so I'm guessing there's like brown bear. Are there any polar bears?
No polar bears, but lots and lots of brown bears.
The brown bears. You were talking about an experience with a brown bear that was just like a few meters away from you, like.
Yeah, pretty much our very first rapid, I came around the corner because I was leading the group, and I could hear that there was a rapid coming up. I could hear the whitewater, and as I came around the corner and was just starting to try and look over this horizon line, there was a bear right beside me, but the water was flowing and the team was behind me. So
in the eddy?
Yeah, in the eddy. But I had to try and not focus on him because the guys were relying on me to find them a route. But as I came to the horizon line, I saw another bear in the eddy right, on the eddy on the right there. So yeah, it's definitely quite challenging to focus completely on the rapid when you're surrounded by so many bears.
Are they aggressive? Were they aggressive towards people? Could you tell?
No, we were really fortunate in that, and I think part of it is that that particular area, they're not used to seeing humans, so I think they hadn't, I don't know how to word this, but they hadn't associated humans with danger as such.
Yeah, well, they might be more scared of you than you are of them at that point.
Generally, their expressions would be kind of one of like curiosity and intrigue of like, what are these things in this big brightly colored plastic boats?
Yeah.
And they'd kind of focus on us for a few moments and then run away. So.
Oh, wow. I guess their primary food source is just the salmon, right?
Yeah.
The fish. That's probably their only, because they're either like deer and moose and all that up there or what?
And there were, a lot fewer, a lesser number. I'd say particularly the salmon, but also higher up, there was also a lot of bears feeding on the berries.
Oh, the berries.
Berries and
yeah.
Salmon, that seems their favorites.
Yeah, well, I don't blame them. I like salmon too, and berries. Yeah, so what boat were you in? What kayak were you paddling?
Well, this was last year, so I was in the 9R2 last year.
Okay. All right. What's the rapids like? Were they like very, was it big water?
Yeah, pretty big volume. So a majority of the team were in, Steve was in a Makno, with it just being a little bit more stable, a little bit more forgiving. And then I think the rest of us were all in 9R2s. One person was in a Burn actually, but yeah.
How were the rapids? Were they like pretty stout, class five the whole way, or like.
No, it was quite. And I shouldn't go into too much detail because the show hasn't come out yet. But
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I thought this was already out on like PBS or something.
No, not yet. But some of the previous ones were.
Well, spoiler alert, everybody fast forward because Sal's about to tell me the entire production. No, it's okay. No, because your main focus of going there was like because it's becoming more tourist area, right? And they're wanting to build. Are they, is
There
it?
was a few like environmental issues that were kind of being discussed and things.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a few different kind of conversation points and messages coming across in this
Was
one.
that one of the coolest like trips you've had? What tell me what the like one of the like where you're like, wow, I know they're all great. I know you're gonna say they're all fun. You know, you just go down to the where, or is that what it's called? A where
Oh,
where you
the
get, yeah, a wea. Yeah, you just go down there and you're like, oh, that's fun. So where's like the most like epic like spot you've paddled?
If you loved adventure and that feeling of being in somewhere so wild and remote, and you know that it's only you and your team, and you've got no idea what's downstream, and you don't know what the next few days are gonna hold, then I would say Kamchatka for sure. That
Wow,
was
that.
definitely, yeah, that was definitely
Are you saying that just because you've got a documentary coming out in a few weeks?
I thought prior to this trip, I thought I'd been to some pretty remote places, but this like definitely stood out.
Now, that's remoteness. I mean, looking at it, because I just looked at the map and I'm like, wow, that's like, is that like Siberia? Is that like, that's the other, that's even farther east than Siberia.
Yeah, so obviously there's some parts of Kamchatka that are more populated. It's still not massive numbers, but they are more populated. But even from kind of a relatively small town, we were a good few hours helicopter ride away from those. And for majority of that, we didn't see any buildings or people or anything really, only bears.
You're off the grid
Yeah,
completely. You're off the planet basically over there.
yeah.
How now, does it get like the super cold like it does in some parts, like negative 52 in the winter or something?
I think it probably would. We went in the fall, so it was like that really nice kind of crisp sunshine, but like pretty chilly still. We're still in our dry suits, and our spray decks and things will be frozen in the morning. As always, like everyone says, been like everywhere you go has something really cool about
It
it.
does, yeah.
And if you're looking for kind of wild and remote, that definitely like serves that up. Whereas if you're someone that wants to kind of park and herk or kind of get as much paddling in per a day as possible, then you probably would go somewhere a little bit less like a bit more accessible, and maybe some more simple kind of logistics.
Yeah, the Kamchatka Peninsula, huh? Well, I'll put that down on my list. I'm sure it's, looking at it, it's not going to be cheap.
Just need to buy a helicopter, then you'll be okay.
Let me just get, yeah, I'll fly from Alaska. How about that? It looks like I'd probably be shorter flying from Alaska, actually. Did you fly into like Moscow or something? How did you, logistics?
Yeah, Moscow and then Kronotsky.
And then you just got on a small helicopter and flew across, right? Wow, that had to.
In normal circumstances, I enjoy that anyway. I think that's like just makes it feel like such an adventure, and it's you and your team, and no one else. Kind of, you're all reliant on each other. But particularly last year, obviously the situation in the UK was pretty difficult. And yeah, like we were in lockdown after lockdown. You could barely even go to the supermarket. Like things were really full on. And for people that are used to being outdoors so much, like probably like yourself, I normally
Oh
am
yeah.
barely inside. I'm never wearing shoes. I'm like never in stockings and stuff. So just
Start
suddenly
going
being locked
freaking crazy.
down. Yeah, being suddenly locked down in a city centre back in like in the UK. For what we thought would be a couple of weeks, and then it pretty much turned into a year. To be able to have that opportunity to escape for a few weeks.
Now, do you speak Russian?
No, definitely
Oh,
not.
nothing.
Everywhere I go, I try to at
Do they
least.
speak Kamchukan over there?
they've got like each area has their own you know, that local kind of language, like their own variation of Russian.
How were they? Did you have to get permission from the like Putin or anything? Like you.
The whole permissions and visas was an absolute nightmare.
See, that's probably another area where I bet it costs some money. Somebody forked up some money for those. How were the
Not me, luckily.
yeah, I can only imagine because yeah, to just go out there, you know, I bet you had to get several permits or whatever, like permission from the Russian
That
government.
was another reason why, like, we just genuinely didn't think it was gonna. So many things working against us at the time that it was quite difficult because myself and Steve has been kayaking for a long time. I think he started as a scout, but because of his career and his family life and things, he doesn't have a lot of time to dedicate to training. And we knew that this expedition would more than likely be the toughest whitewater he'd ever paddled. And as I said, we're out in the middle of nowhere. There's not really any room for error. So we, despite not knowing if we'd actually make the trip or not, if we'd end up going, we basically dedicated our spring and summer with training towards something that we didn't actually know if it would happen or not. So
Yeah, but the
that just
training's
added.
fun, right? So training's
Yeah.
just kayaking. That's what I do when a race is coming up. It's like, how do you train for a race? I don't know. I just go kayaking a lot. So even if I don't end up racing, well, hey, I got weeks of kayaking that was fun. Even if it's out on flat water, I was just out paddling. Yeah.
But we didn't have a lot of rain, so we were pretty much just driving to whitewater courses every day and
Yeah, that could
lapping
get.
whitewater courses each day. But we trained as much as we've tried to kind of vary things as much as we can, what we could, and like kind of get as much variance in there as we could, with quite limited options. But
Yeah.
yeah, so it was quite like that. So that all just added to why it felt such an amazing thing to be able to go, because we'd been training for it for months,
On
not knowing.
whitewater courses.
Basically.
You get out in the eddy and get you a tea or something and then get right back in and paddle off. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
Just
and so
training on
jumping
what.
in and rescue training, and like obviously we're all reliant on each other. And even though Steve would consider himself one of the weaker members of the group, it's still just as important that he knows how to rescue us and how to get to
Exactly. It's important for you.
us. Yeah, I know.
It's like having a throw rope. The throw rope ain't doing me any good. It does you the good. I'm throwing it to you.
If you arrange to go paddling with someone and they forget their throw bag, I'm like, you can borrow mine.
It's like, what are you going to use? I'll be okay. Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah,
Yeah.
fine.
So where will people be able to see this?
So here in the UK, I know that previous series have been on the BBC and UK TV,
Okay.
and over in the States it was on the PBS channel.
When will it be aired? Do you know?
I believe it's going to be in the next like 4 to 8 weeks.
Okay. Well, I'll keep an eye for that because I have PBS.
Oh,
yeah.
awesome.
You sent me a couple of links, but they were just kind of like trailers, right? They were just
Yeah,
premiere.
just
They would.
before,
Yeah.
yeah, just kind of give you a bit of an idea of the trip.
It looks great. So everybody listen, watch for that. What's it going to be called?
Expedition with Steve Backshall.
Expedition with Steve Batchel. He's the
Yeah,
guy that you were telling me about that he doesn't have a ton of whitewater experience, right?
kind of. He's done a fair bit over the years, but it's been quite spread out because his TV series, for instance, is loads of different sports. So 1 month he might be doing some epic climb somewhere, or he's like quite well known for his diving and things. So he's doing loads of cool stuff, but it's not like always
Is he
kayaking.
like Bear Grylls? Bear Grylls type guy?
Not like in the adventure sense, probably.
Really?
But I think Steve is more known for like the wildlife. And yeah,
Okay,
he's
more documentary style, right? More of like a
yeah, but with
documentary
like
style.
he kind of uses adventure to kind of tell the stories and to kind of like share information about the
Yeah.
wildlife and things too.
Did you have a helicopter following you the whole time? Would you
No, we
didn't?
weren't that fancy.
Yeah, that's a little posh.
Yeah, we did scout the river with one though, so that was pretty cool.
No, okay. Did you mentioned something you had like a ranger, like a park ranger or something? Like the a local. This was a local for the area or the where you were at?
I probably can't go into too much more detail.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. We don't want to spoil it. Damn it, Sal. I'm dying to know this. I know. I know.
Trouble if I tell any more about it.
Yeah, just kind of like brief over it. No, I get that. Yeah. We'll get onto your gear. I know you paddle a lot with the Peak UK. I guess that's your life vest and all that. What kind of paddle do you use mostly?
I just use Werner's. I've used Werner's for years and years. It's kind of that like old trusty, isn't it?
It is. Old faithful, baby.
Yeah.
What model?
Small shaft. I don't
Stikine?
Know. Yeah, I think it's a Stikine.
Is it foam core?
Maybe.
You look at it every day. I was just wondering on the blade size, if you like a bigger, larger blade or a smaller blade.
Yeah, I think it's the Stikine. I always go for the small shaft if I can. It's not always like, sometimes they're like, oh, it's several months wait for one, so that's fine. I just go without, but if there's an option for it, I'll go for it. And yeah, blade size, it's that balance, isn't it? I remember a few years ago, I went for a blade that was too big, and I kept getting shoulder injuries and elbow issues and stuff. So I think maybe it was a bit too big for me.
Yeah, you're probably using the Stikine or the...
Yeah, I think it is the Stikine.
If it's foam core, it's probably the Stikine. I can't remember what their smaller, their fiberglass one is. Yeah. What about your vest? What kind of vest do you rock right now?
So I paddle Peak UK. So I use their River Guide vest because
it's called the River Guide. I don't know anything. Like, I don't know much about their
gear.
Yeah,
I don't think like a lot of my American friends don't have a lot of Peak UK gear.
Is it called a buoyancy aid?
Yeah, buoyancy aid.
It's called the buoyancy aid. Yeah, this one,
yeah,
right?
So it has like the guide belt on there, like the safety harness.
I like that color.
Yeah, super. They've done the last couple of years, done loads of nice, like, colorful kit, which is pretty cool.
Wow, and that.
The thing I like about these buoyancy aids is they have like really big pockets, so you can get loads of safety gear and snacks and stuff in.
The pockets in the front.
They're quite good if you've got like quite a long torso, which I don't, but
I can see that the cut right here.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some buoyancy aids, they're kind of round and fat, and they kind of get in the way of you leaning forward and stuff. These ones are, like, long and thin.
Wow, I like the looks of that vest. I just pulled it up and looked at it online. It looks like it comes in two colors, like a, I don't know what this, it's a teal-looking color, right?
Oh, the blue one.
I guess you'd be calling it blue. It looks teal and red to me. I like those colors. Those colors look nice.
Yeah.
No.
That's super nice.
Yeah, Peak's been. Hey, do you run a toe tether on it?
No.
You don't. You don't use a. What do you call it? A toe tether, or do you call it a cow tail?
We call it what's it? A cow tail.
And you don't use one.
No, some of my friends do, but I don't personally.
Why is that?
For a couple of reasons, I guess. Like, it's one of those kind of controversial things anyway, isn't it?
That's why I'm bringing it up, because I catch a lot of heat on these cowtail toe tethers, because I don't use them. I don't like them. I don't use them. But I get it. I don't knock it if you want to use it. I just like talking to, like, really good paddlers like yourself. Every time I talk to a good paddler, they're like, oh, I don't use them, unless I'm instructing and just like that. So what?
Some of my friends do, particularly the ones that are guiding, and like some of them might say, I just tend to use them on like the easier rivers. I guess for me, I in the past have done quite a lot of safety kayaking work, where I basically was just chasing swimmers all day every day. And I don't really like being that attached to something, especially if it's full of water and like it's pulling me back. And so what I tend to do is in my buoyancy aid, kind of I have it zigzagged and pushed down. And it's got a carabiner on the top, so I pull out the carabiner, clip it to the grab handle, and it's a looped sling. So I put my arm through the looped sling and paddle with it coming behind me.
Me too.
And then if for some reason it's like pulling me back or anything happens, I can literally take my hand off the paddle, it comes off my shoulder and it's gone, and I'm free and independent. Maybe part of it is like what you're used to and what you were taught and stuff. Like, I know when I first started running rivers and things, a lot of the guys I was paddling with didn't use cowtails, so maybe that plays part into it, of like I've not kind of grown up with them as such.
Yeah.
But then I know lots of friends, that are not from the UK that have always paddled with them. So I guess it's just, if you're going to use them, just being careful with them.
Yeah, and that was my biggest thing, was just using it properly.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing. Like, a lot of kayaking accidents, like when they're related to equipment and things, it's when we've perhaps not made the best decisions with them or used them in like a less than ideal situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just being super used to your gear and stuff.
What's your next trip coming up?
Well, I'm hoping...
Is this secret too? Can you not tell me, Sal? No. You're like, I can't talk about it until after. No. I'll bleep it out if you want. I'll beep every time you say it.
No secrets. Normally, in the winters, I spend pretty much the whole winter in South America normally. But obviously, last year, that couldn't happen.
Okay.
So I'm really hoping that this year I can. I've got lots of friends that live over there. Obviously,
when you say South America, Chile, Ecuador, what?
Yeah, probably Chile and Ecuador.
Okay.
There was talk of a couple of other places too, but at the moment, pretty much all of them are still on the red list for us here in the UK. So I'm kind of seeing how the next few weeks go. If I can't, then I'll make the most of it. I'll paddle here in the UK. We have pretty good rivers here in the winter anyway, so I'll make the most of it, but...
Everything's rain-fed over there, so it's all, or dam control. Are there a lot of dam controls?
There's a couple of good rivers up in Scotland that are dam-controlled, but all the best rivers really are river-fed. So there's definitely good stuff to do. It's a bit difficult to get consistent paddling in because you're relying on rainstorms and you never quite know if the river's going to come in or not, and... So you can end up with a lot of weekends where you thought you'd be paddling, but you're not paddling and stuff.
That's the advantage here in the Southeast where I'm at is, you know, it's kind of like a double-edged sword type thing. You don't want them to dam rivers up, but because there's so many of them here in the Southeast, we have something to paddle every weekend, you name it. I mean, the list goes on and on that runs spring, summer and fall, because you mentioned about what the best time to come to the USA, and I would almost suggest kind of around the fall, honestly, because then you're going to get a lot of like right now we've been having a lot of rain, and it's the same way when it rains. Obviously, we're all trying to find the best run for the rain fed. Is that how it is in the UK? Is it mostly like tight creeks, like creaky type stuff?
Yeah. They're mostly kind of your lower volume rivers. Like, I guess even as Brits have got a bit of a reputation when it comes to like low volume rivers.
Well, that's the Southeast for you.
Yeah, I've heard the same.
The Manc. Do you call it the Manc?
Yeah, there are some that I would describe as the Manc or Choss. Do you know the word Choss?
Chaff?
Choss.
No, I've not heard the Chaff.
Like, you know, if a river was really manky, you'd be like, oh, that was really chossy.
And it's Chossy.
It's when it's like rocky and gross and like borderline whether you're having fun or not. Like,
it's Chossy.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's a new one. That's a new one on me. No, I've not heard that. But we would just say that it's real manky. Yeah. It's like lower volume, or the rocks are really sharp and you're just banging on things and it's still fun, but you're like, eh. Yeah,
we have a few of those here, but then we also have some really cool stuff too. So, you don't really need to paddle the Choss because if there's rain, then there's some really good rivers around. You just have to work a bit harder for them. Usually a bit more chasing and driving and like constant refreshing of weather forecasts and stuff. So.
I've seen, now that I've got you on here, I've seen something on YouTube that came up. They said the world's most dangerous river or something in the UK or Yorkshire or maybe somewhere like that. It's just like this weird little nothing river that goes through like a cow's field or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I wonder if it's Cauldron Snout.
It looks like nothing. It looks like class one, but apparently it's got some swirly... Uh-huh. Damn it.
Oh, maybe not Cauldron Snout. That's definitely not flat.
Because now it'll drive me crazy if I don't get this. Because you probably
I'm intrigued as well now, actually.
You probably went and paddled it. I know it's in the UK. It's in it's called. They've got it listed as. I can't even say this. It's called the. Hold on, I'm going to pull it up and let you see it.
Oh, the wharf.
Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of it, but I didn't know it was dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Compared to what we normally paddle.
the picture.
Yeah. What did I do?
Yeah,
How do you have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, but to be honest, I didn't think that there was anything very gnarly on it, but I could be wrong. Like,
It's called the wharf. Is that how you say that?
wolf.
Wolf. Okay. I'll just agree that it's a wolf.
I'm not the best person to ask because I'm
It's
like
is a
my
river.
accent is so confused.
So listen to this. The Wharfe is a river in Yorkshire, England, for much of its length to the country boundary of West Yorkshire. Are you familiar with this river?
I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever actually paddled it. There's some really good stuff in Yorkshire, but yeah, I've not done the wharf, I don't think.
It's weird. It's like it's rated one of the world's most dangerous rivers. Is that not
Really?
crazy?
That's
In
pretty
Yorkshire.
crazy.
Is that a posh area, Sal?
No, not really.
Yorkshire.
Yes. You're making it sound posher than a really good waterfall runs up there.
That's the most dangerous river in the world.
Well, I'll let him know that he's the
if you go to like Google and type in world's most dangerous river, on the right-hand side this river wharf pops up. And it's insane to me. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, it looks class 3 at the most.
badass. So you don't need BC or whatever. You can just go to the wharf.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, you it's just crazy. In West Yorkshire, and I'm like, Yorkshire is just not known for its like insane stout rivers. And that's I figured I would ask you.
That's a real good secret. I'm not sure anyone is aware of that.
That well, they are now, Sal. They are
Yeah,
now.
well,
I'm
yeah,
put
with the
yeah.
secret out the bag, everyone is going to be
And
flocking.
I think one of the things was it's like people, it's mostly not kayakers, it's people have fallen in and they're ranking it on how many people have fell in and drowned. It's on, there's some weird like vortex currents, the way it comes off the walls. There's a documentary on it, and how this came up for me was I was watching just some BBC documentary on YouTube, and it's like world's most that piqued my interest. World's most dangerous river, and there apparently it's like lots of fatalities, but it's mostly people falling in.
Yeah, and unfortunately, every summer there just seem to be quite a few fatalities here in the UK. And as said, that they're pretty much always kind of holiday makers and tourists who, unfortunately, when it's nice and sunny, get in the river for a swim, but because they don't really understand the dynamics of the water and the like the
No
nature.
life vest, obviously.
Yeah, and they're just getting in for a swim and or sometimes like because it's so easy to buy like inflatable kayaks and things now, and like going off little weirs and ledges and stuff looks super fun, which some of them are, but some of them are pretty
Like
deadly.
low head dams, yeah.
Yeah, and just like really closed in, the kind of thing that if you went in the water, like it would be a real bad time. So yeah, unfortunately, we have a few of those each year, really.
Oh wow. So how far are you away from Yorkshire?
Probably 4 hours.
Oh well, you could drive there tomorrow and check it out.
Yeah, if there was any water.
I'm sure it's rain fan, but yeah.
It's probably just like a riverbed right now.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good. How do you
What a
say it
lot of the
again?
UK is like right now. The
You say it the
wharf.
wolf? Wharf.
The wharf.
War.
Wharf.
Like war.
Yeah, but you definitely shouldn't like learn English from me. My accent is so confused. I
Oh
don't speak
God.
anyone else here.
Don't even start on accent. So I grew up in East Tennessee. So yeah, I'm exactly everything. I get messages on YouTube where people are like, "Hey, I'm learning English from listening to your videos." I'm like, "Don't. Please not. Don't." You'll be mispronouncing everything. Yeah, 'cause I travel, and even though people speak English, I still confuse them. Like they might speak it, English might be their second language, and they're like, "What?" Words like "y'all." When you say "y'all" here, and yeah, and it's just they're like, "What, y'all? What do you mean?" And they're confused. So I have to try to talk more proper.
My friends take the mic when I'm back in the UK after being in South America, because I hang out with a lot of Americans through the winter. And I pick up all your little sayings, and then when I come back, everyone just laughs at me because I sound ridiculous.
Oh, what's your favorite saying in America?
Oh, Oh, I'll have to think about that one.
Oh, come on. You got something funny.
Okay, I'm gonna have to think. I'll tell you later when I've thought.
Yeah, that's right. You have it. Yeah, so on that, you go to South America usually in the winter. And what's your favorite river down there? And mostly Chile, right?
Yeah, mostly Chile. I've been to Ecuador a couple of times and had awesome times there. But yeah, Chile is more the norm. I'd say that's more like my kind of second home. I would probably have to. Oh, it's really tough. Like for special places and special times, I'd say the Claro.
The
It's
Rio
just,
Claro, right?
yeah, it's just like super special up there. But like backyard, super fun, lots of laps, the Pauguin. But then the Futaleufú is just like another world. Like when you head down there, you're out in the sticks, there's only paddlers around, and it really does feel like a paddler's paradise. Like it's just so different down there. There's
Wow,
nowhere else that I've ever been like it.
what boat do you usually take? Did you take the Ripper?
When I was last there, I only had with me the original 9R.
Oh, the 9R1,
Yeah, so
which is a really good boat.
it's awesome,
It's a
but
really good boat.
I would love to go back in the Ripper. I think that river in the Ripper would just be absolute heaven.
Yeah.
So yeah, super excited to get a Ripper down there.
You don't just do whitewater. I've seen you in sea kayaks. I've seen you in like
I just do
canoes.
anything.
I know. What is it like? So have you done like any expedition sea kayaking type deals?
Yeah, not like whitewater is definitely my thing. That's what really gets me excited.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm in the UK, like I said, it kind of feels like you're hanging around waiting for rain a lot of the time. So I like to keep busy. But I'm pretty much up for doing most outdoor stuff. So I was in Pembrokeshire sea kayaking recently. That was with Steve, who I do the expeditions with. Just him and a few of our friends, just doing some exploring along the coast, a bit of holidaying too. I've done a bit with my good friend Erin. She's a out and out sea kayaker. She's done some epic expeditions all over the world. And whenever we get together, we kind of mix things up. I take her river running, she takes me sea kayaking, and we just go and make some adventures basically.
Do you own a sea kayak?
No, I just borrow.
You just borrow just whatever.
Yeah.
That's me. I had one at one time, but I found that I didn't paddle it as much as I wanted to, so I ended up selling
Yeah,
it. But if anybody wanted to get,
I'm not
yeah.
sure where I store it. I probably, like the house I'm at now, I've got like six kayaks here and two bikes.
Oh, do you mountain bike or do you road bike? Which one?
I recently got into mountain biking and absolutely love it. But until then, I was just road biking. Again, in the summer, trying to find something to do, I cycled from the Orkney Isles, which is north of Scotland, to the Isles of Scilly, which is right at the very bottom. I think it was 100, no, 1,400 kilometers.
Wow, how long did that take?
We did it over 2 weeks.
2 weeks of just by, what would you do a day?
Usually between 100 to 150K, I think 160.
A day, and then you would just, would you camp or would you have,
Yeah,
did you have someone following you?
so we were doing like a bit of a documentary whilst we were doing it. We were interviewing people along the way that are doing like awesome things for the environment and for climate change and stuff. So we were making a bit of a documentary, interviewing them along the way. So we had a car, and like obviously we didn't go in the car, but there was a film crew and stuff in there. But so always doing something kind of different when I'm back in the UK, because I just want to keep busy really. And whitewater isn't always an option, so just do whatever we can.
Yeah, it's the same way here. It'll be really dry for a while, or like even like winter times, there's no dam control or anything. So I'll do something like kayak fishing, or I'll go mountain biking, just something kind of like you. I just want to be outdoors. I just want to be doing something outdoors.
Sure. Running and swimming are kind of my go-tos. If I can't kayak, I'm usually running or swimming there.
Running, so have you ever done any of the like the races? What it like
When I was younger, I used to do
do they
swimming.
call them Iron Man there, like the Iron
Oh
Man,
yeah, you can do some epic stuff called like the Iron Man, which is just crazy.
like
But what I
racing,
normally
like
do, what I
running,
normally do
swimming?
is like trail running. So I'll just pack a little backpack and go off for the day. Usually along the coast, and just see how much mileage I can cover, kind of thing. and just make like a day of it, like a little mini adventure kind of thing. Probably have a swim as well.
Yeah, in the like in the ocean. How far are you away from the beach?
Well, I swim at a place that's half an hour away here from here. But if I travel a bit further, the beaches are a lot nicer. So.
Oh really?
A bit further, yeah.
You mentioned Scotland a lot. How close are you to Scotland?
Maybe like 7 hours.
Oh well, that's not close.
But for the UK, it's not too bad.
That's the whole country. Yeah. So.
I spend a lot of my time over in Devon and Cornwall on the south coast there. And, my favorite river is in Devon, and there's loads of really nice coast around there as well. So, yeah, it's just super fun. It's kind of like low volume, and unless it rains a lot, then it's pretty exciting, big volume. But yeah, it's just super fun, and one of those rivers that you can just lap all day.
Is it what like? What do you mean by lap? So you can walk back up and do it again?
You can, but that would take a really long time. So we usually just drive back up. People weren't like sharing cars and stuff. We were walking back up, but you can only really get like one or two laps in a day.
There's a lot of those here in the southeast. Those runs where you could just sit there and just lap them, and then just lap till you get tired and stop doing it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite? Well, like you in Scotland, do you paddle a lot in Scotland?
I haven't done for a few years, but I'm planning on going back this fall. There's one area, like Fort William, Glencoe kind of way, like southwest, which are really popular. Mm-hmm. And if people were going kayaking in Scotland, they'd probably mostly all head there. But there is a lot of paddling to be done all over Scotland, really. I'm keen to go kind of test some of it out a bit more.
Yeah, and the rivers there are like that small, like manky type runs too. That's what it looks like to me, right?
They're definitely kind of like your lower volume, like smaller creeks and stuff. There are some that you would perhaps say were manky, but then there's some really cool ones as well.
I forgot. What did you say? The Charles? Charles? What did you call them?
Oh, Chuss.
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 I would love to travel and just get on a little moped and drive across all of it.
Have a little trailer for your kayak.
Yeah. Oh, pulling a little trailer in the back. Yeah. Because you could go like 10 different countries over there in like just a few weeks, right?
Yeah. I was in Wales yesterday.
Let's see. There you go. Hey, so it's okay for you guys to travel back and forth, right?
Yes, it is now. It hasn't been for like a lot of the year. It wasn't like possible to, but now we can again, which is cool. Yeah,
awesome.
A lot of my friends live on that side of the border, so I'm pretty glad about that, and it means I can go paddling over there.
Do you need a passport to go to Wales?
No.
Really? Do you need a passport for Scotland?
Nope.
Why is that? Even though it's a different country, you don't need a passport when you travel like that. What about to go to France or somewhere?
Yeah, to go over to Europe, you do. And that's, like, particularly so now because of Brexit, because we're not part of the European Union.
Mm.
But, like, obviously Scotland and Wales and England are all part of the UK. So travel between there is super easy. But, yeah, now to go over to France, we need a few more permissions and things.
Oh, you got to get a stamp, yeah.
Yeah. maybe I could mention that I'm writing my first book. That's my kind of, there's a few things on, so I write for a couple of magazines and things, kind of various kind of outdoors or adventure magazines, and obviously a few blogs here and there for kind of sponsors and that, but I am currently working on my first book.
Your first?
Yeah.
It's always the best. You'll never forget your first. It's always the best.
That one's the most special.
What's the name of it?
Be confirmed. That's not the name. I just don't know the name of the book yet.
Oh, you haven't named it yet. Are you?
Yeah. I think I'm going to write it first. It's super early days still. I've only written a couple of
Well, that's awesome. What do you have an idea, or is this top secret too?
It's a bit of a secret, partly because I'm still working it out. But no, I have a really, like, in my mind, I already have a structure, and kind of as you start writing, you kind of sway off that structure and start to find that it's going off in different directions, which has been kind of cool, actually. I think that's been making it more interesting.
Fiction or non-fiction?
Non-fiction.
Is it going to be about your travel?
Yeah, mostly.
Great. Okay, I love books like that. It's more interesting. Is it going to be like a biography, like autobiography, or?
Just on like one particular kind of significant journey for me, and how it kind of shaped future kind of journeys and things too.
I will definitely entertain it only if it's an audiobook.
Okay, yeah, I'll just for you, I'll record it all by voice. Yeah, that plus quite a lot of travel means that my voice is just all over the place. And even when I go back to my hometown, people are like, "Where are you from?"
That would be interesting, your book on audio, and then I could drive to the river with it blasting.
I'm coming to the States next year.
Is it your first time in the US?
No, but this will be the best time.
It's always the best time.
I keep hearing awesome stuff about paddling over there. So I'm going to see if it's as good as everyone keeps saying.
It's regional dependent. How about that?
Okay,
I
cool.
guess like over there.
It depends who you speak to, whether you're speaking to people in the Southwest or the Southeast.
You got the
Quite
South.
opinionated about the other place.
You talk to them in the Pacific Northwest, and then the Southeast is drastically different. They're all
Yeah,
different.
it's quite funny.
The good spot to look for is Colorado, right in the middle. You go to Colorado, no matter what, you're in between both of them. All right, well, Sal, so how can people get a hold of you here? So I guess just Instagram, Facebook. You got a YouTube channel too, right?
My YouTube channel is still pretty small, but I do intend to put more on it in the coming weeks. But yeah, I guess Instagram is probably the thing I kind of share majority of what I'm up to and things on there. So yeah,
Well,
reach out. I'm super
what is
keen
it? Sal
to chat with you.
Montgomery?
Yeah, sal.montgomery.
Sal.Montgomery on Instagram. You can live vicariously through like travelers like yourself. I'm like, oh wow, what is she doing over there? Wow, look at that.
Weirdo doing right now.
I wouldn't say weirdo. All right, Sal. Well, I'll let you get off here. I appreciate you coming on, and thanks for talking to me. And it's been a pleasure.
Thank you
So,
so much, and
all
I
right.
look forward to chatting with you one day.
All right. All right. Bye.
You.